Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Monday, the 20th day in November of 2023. I'm your host, Michael Kimmett, bringing you four of the most crucial current events in cyber and technology that you need to hopefully start your work week. We're going to start in Africa and Europe, where auto manufacturer Toyota is reporting that their financial services division in that area had to take systems offline in response to a cyber attack. It looked and it smelled like ransomware, and sure enough, a ransomware gang, this one who goes by the moniker Medusa, claimed that they have stolen a significant amount of data from Toyota. And they are demanding an $8 million payday to be paid by the 26th of November, so in just six short days. But they're nice enough to extend that deadline by an additional $10,000 per day in the way of fees. So it's unclear exactly what data Medusa has, but that's a very high price tag for data. So it could include things like internal pricing, the profit numbers, all sorts of financial information that Toyota could get in trouble for, potentially, if that was disclosed unintentionally, or even customer data, like all of your finance information, which would include, in most cases, your social security number or taxpayer ID number or identification number, depending on which country you're in, all used to commit fraud in your name. Bottom line, this ransomware attack, like many before it, have a huge consequence for companies, in this case Toyota, and ultimately for its consumers, in this case those who either do business with Toyota, invest in Toyota, or even simply finance a vehicle through the company. We're going to move on, because while Medusa is extorting Toyota for $8 million, there is news about a case that happened about a year ago in which a U.S. teenager was able to make thousands of dollars by compromising 60,000 plus accounts of a gambling sports betting website. Now, in this scenario, what happened is that there was a type of attack called credential stuffing, where criminals gather email addresses, which are usually the login or usernames for a website, and they try various passwords until they're successful. Now, upon gaining access to, again, 60,000 plus accounts at what appears to be the sports betting site DraftKings, this 19-year-old was able to, with some co-conspirators, link bank accounts that they controlled to those accounts, which have funds that were added by the legitimate users, and then drain those accounts. So again, 60,000 plus accounts, even if the average account only had $5,000, you're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars in profit. Good news is that this individual has pled guilty to credential stuffing. It's unclear exactly what his sentence will be, but again, a criminal ring that was stealing data from those trying to enjoy sports betting are now behind bars. We're going to stay behind bars, because that is where an Israeli man, Aviram Azari, a 52-year-old individual, has been sentenced to 80 months in prison, an additional 3 years of supervised release, and forfeiture of 4.8 plus million U.S. dollars that Azari made from 2019 and prior. In 2019, Azari was arrested while traveling to the United States from, quote, abroad. And Azari was noted to be involved with a huge spear phishing campaign targeting companies and individuals, netting again 4.8 plus million US dollars that authorities are aware of, although there's speculation that the individual made significantly more money. What's really interesting in this case, though, is that Azari used not just tools to conduct phishing, he engaged with and actually solicited the aid, help, or service of various hacking groups around the world. And those hacking groups would, because Azari was paying them, give him updates, statuses, etc. And his targets were wide-ranging. It was individuals, it was financial firms, which is what you would expect for people trying to make money. But interestingly, he also targeted a large number of climate activists, organizations, and individuals involved in climate change activities, and leaked their memos, which produced intelligence for big companies like ExxonMobil to be more aware of those scenarios. It's unclear exactly why that was the motive of Azari, but yet we know that as part of his road to $4+ million US dollars, that this was the actions that he took. And so for those actions, he's been sentenced again to 80 months in prison, 3 years of supervised release after serving that time, and forfeiting all of his hard, although illegally earned, money. We're going to end today not in prison, but with a departure. Altman is the CEO, or was the CEO, of OpenAI. OpenAI revolutionized the AI advancement in the world with its ChatGPT product line. And Altman was the CEO of the company, being very technically savvy and leading the company to unprecedented growth and gains. So it was very, very surprising when the board of OpenAI asked Mr. Altman to depart, saying that after a deliberative review process, the board concluded that he was not, he being Altman, consistently candid in his communications with the board, hindering its ability to exercise its responsibilities. Now, to be clear, it's unclear exactly what communications Mr. Altman was not candid with. It is a very complicated situation in which AI needs to be regulated. It's a very fluid market, so it could be very well that Mr. Altman thought that these were technical elements that a board normally wouldn't want to hear about. But maybe because AI is so pervasive in society, the board felt compelled to know and unable to act because they didn't, in specific minute details. But this could have very, very significant consequences to AI's advancement moving forward. OpenAI, under Mr. Altman, was poised to overtake the entire market, with big companies like Microsoft, Google, and Amazon all struggling to keep pace, Microsoft even attempting to buy through investment opportunities in OpenAI. And so this change is significant for the trajectory of the company that pioneered the development of many models that these big companies are now implementing or taking ideas or technology from, in a legal manner, of course. And it's unclear exactly if Mr. Altman will return to the company if asked to, because it appears that employees really do want him to be back in the chair of leadership. Now, there was a interim CEO that has been with the company for a very long time. She apparently has the trust of the board, and until a new CEO is found, she will serve as interim CEO. It's unclear why she isn't just made CEO if they have the level of trust for her to do the role, but at the end of the day, what is happening is OpenAI is looking for a new CEO, or maybe they'll hire the interim CEO and replace her position within the company with a hire at a later date. So a lot of change in OpenAI, which has huge implications for the AI market as a whole. Just be aware that this is a very mysterious and sudden situation in what is a very fluid and dynamic market. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all so very much. Have a fantastic and outstanding Monday. It's going to be a great week. So stay safe, stay strong, stay healthy, and we'll see you tomorrow. Michael Kimmett signing off. Ciao. Welcome back, listeners. Today's Tip of the Cap goes to Sha'Carri Richardson. Sha'Carri Richardson is an athlete in the United States who competes in various track and field events, and she's getting a sincere tip of the cap for winning the United States Track and Field Athlete of the Year. In addition to being the U.S. Field Athlete of the Year, she also was the only American to make the five finalists in contention for the World Female Athlete of the Year, which will be awarded in early December this year. So to you, Sha'Carri Richardson, for continuing to dominate the track and field scene, for being a role model and great example for not just young ladies, but all athletes around the world, a sincere tip of the cap, and please keep on running.